Welcome back to Controlling Our Finances. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. When you start to build a house, you need to start with a foundation. Right now, many people are in a rickety shack that's about to fall down. It needs to be torn down. And so...
Say that again. That's good.
You're living in a rickety shack that's about to fall down, and it needs to be torn down. And so, you know, we want you to take the things that you've done, and you're going to tear it down, but what we're going to have you do is start with a good foundation. Okay. That foundation that I found that I did back in 2007 was doing Financial Peace University. And it has been one of the best things that I've ever done. What Financial Peace University does is it helps you with the principles. It gives you a roadmap to get out of debt and how to better manage your finances and your money. And so one of the things that I would recommend is to go through Financial Peace University. Don't do it by yourself. Do it with others. Okay. One thing that we need in our life is accountability. We need people to be accountable to. And so when you do Financial Peace University, you learn how to budget. You learn how to invest. You learn how to knock down debt. You learn how to give. You learn all these principles. You know, I would love to say, oh, listen to our podcast and we're going to give you all the answers. And I'm going to say, no, it's not that. It doesn't work that way. There are other tools that you can do, that you can use to become better. And so one of those tools is Financial Peace University. There have been millions and millions of people, individuals and couples that have gone through it who have success stories. I can say that I am a success story from it. There are people that have had millions of dollars in debts that have successfully gotten out from underneath them through Financial Peace University. And I'm going to use a story that I tell people when I tell them you need to do this, because sometimes they think, oh, I'm a lawyer and I've got a doctorate in, you know, finances. I don't need this. This isn't going to help me. There was a couple when my wife and I were going through Financial Peace University. There was a couple that sat next to us. Lovely couple. You know, they were wonderful. They said, we wish, they were a lot older, we wish we had this 30 years ago. Okay. They were in their 60s. They were looking at retirement and they were going through Financial Peace University. And they said, we wish we had this 30 years ago. He was the president of a college, and she was a professor at that college in mathematics. Okay. Smart people. They weren't slouches. He had a doctorate. I don't know if she had a doctorate, but they were really smart. And they said, we wish we had this 30 years ago. So you can say, I have all the knowledge and yet you're drowning in debt. I have all the knowledge and you're watching all that money escape out of your pockets. This is where you have to lay your pride aside and say, I need help. You know, an alcoholic doesn't go, oh, I'm going to beat this by, you know, just willpower. No, you need people. You need others. You need principles. You need to tell yourself no. And sometimes you have to do the hard thing and swallow your pride, because right now your pride is keeping you in debt. Your pride is pushing you down. And so I want to say, swallow your pride. Go to Financial Peace University, take those principles and start working yourself out of that pit. And don't let what other people think, don't let what yourself think, because I want to say probably the biggest person who's judging you is yourself. That's the biggest person who is judging you. Others are going to walk next to you and go, wow, that's amazing. You're doing such a great job. You're an inspiration. Yet inside of you, you're saying, oh, I'm the worst. I can't believe I made all these mistakes. Who am I? I'm just going to go ahead and wallow in my pity, and I'm going to lay here in my debt because there's no way out. That's your pride. You need to set that aside, tell yourself no, and actually do the hard thing. And you will be amazed on how much your life transforms as you start to do those principles. So let's start off with a foundation. What is that foundation? Financial Peace University. Go through it. Do it. If millions of people are getting help and they're able to be successful, guess what? You can too. So that is going to be our foundation in what we're doing. The rest of it, our financial house gets built on top of that. Jesus, at the end of the chapter 7 in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, let me actually read that. I'm going to pull it up. Matthew chapter, I'm doing this on the fly. I didn't have this all right there in front of me. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? Solid foundation. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew against and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So what is he talking about? A firm foundation. Having something there that will keep everything from hitting you. The world is going to go through financial crisis. You're going to lose your job. You're going to get sick. You're going to go into the hospital. All these things are happening. If you have a firm foundation, you're going to weather it. It's not going to be fun. You're not going to be like, oh, I have this and now it's not going to hurt me. No, it's going to hurt. But imagine if your foundation is like this. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. There are a lot of people, it just takes a small gust and their house is collapsing. Yeah. I tell people, if you want to weather an economic downturn, have no debt. Because if you do not have to pay for something tomorrow, you're able to weather whatever storms may come your way. So that foundation is Financial Peace University. The principles are going to help you to have a secure financial house. Doesn't mean that things won't happen, but you're in a better position than if you had no foundation. And many of us are walking through life without a foundation. And that's okay. Because if you don't have a foundation, guess what you can do? Start building one. Start now. Don't wait. Start now.
Excellent points, Joseph. Thank you very much. You know, one of the my favorite scriptures, and I got like, the whole Bible is my favorite scripture, so I don't even know if I can say that. But I'm going to harken back to something Laura says, mentioned that we don't need to be slaves of sin. God wants us to be able to prosper. And I'm not doing the get wealthy gospel thing. I don't know what there was a term for that, but health, wealth, gospel. You know, there are people who are poor, and there are conditions that are legit that why we get behind financially and so on. So I'm not doing that blessed and highly favored and I'm always rich kind of, I'm not doing that. you know, we have trouble sometimes. But overall, God wants us to prosper so that we can give his generosity away. That's the bottom line. And the scripture that denotes that is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through about 12. And I'll read that to you. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul was collecting foodstuffs and materials for the God's people, the church in the Judea area at that point, because they were going through famine. So this is the context. But Paul's, let me pick up a couple other principles in here. And God, in verse 8, is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, i.e., instead of always being in debt and barely having enough to do anything, may have abundance for every good work. If we're not in debt, if we're not up to our eyeballs in debt and we're upside down, then we have some abundance for every good work. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So our not being slaves of sin and having the wherewithal to bless other people and to help fund positive initiatives and be able to give away and good projects and whatnot brings glory and thanksgiving to God. So those brethren who were in Judea at that time, who the Corinthians, many churches in Asia were sending aid to, they were thanking God that their needs were being supplied because their agricultural fields weren't supplying anything because of the drought and famine at the time. So our liberality or our not being in debt and being able to give to people when it's appropriate at the times that are appropriate, that God gives this the ability to do, will cause thanksgiving to him and help somebody's relationship improve with him. And verse 10 is also, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And the reason I mentioned tithing in the beginning, that's what we give to God and what we live for God is the most important. And when God gave his first financial lesson, it was tithing. And tithing came out of an agricultural kind of a thing. First of all, you had to know what your increase was. That's your gross minus your expenses and what's your increase. And then you had to take a tenth of that. And then you had to decide, okay, that tenth is gone. I had to figure that out mathematically and so on economically. Then I got to keep some back for food. And then I got enough seed so I can plant so I can eat next year. So all that is figuring out your finances. All that is figuring out where you stand and how what you appropriate to what cause. But the first and foremost is God gets what belongs to him. It all belongs to him. For now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but when I get paid on Mondays, when I get my paychecks from a few referral things that I have, the first thing I do is go to my phone and pay my tithe. I love it. I've always done that. It's a thrill that I have with God that I can't wait to give back to God because I acknowledge that he owns my whole life and he has given me everything that I enjoy. He's given me every breath that I breathe. So I can't wait to get back to him. And that should be our attitude. And look, that didn't come from me. I wasn't born with that attitude. God instilled that attitude of generosity and just being eager to give back to God in my heart through his Holy Spirit. It's not my righteousness, it's him. But that's the attitude that we need, and that's where it starts. If we don't have that, then no amount of budgeting or deferred gratification or whatever is going to satisfy us anyway.
Oh, so well said. And I love how we always bring the scriptures, you know, to stand tall on because, you know, back to the blueprint, back to the foundation, you know, that Joseph was talking about, Kevin, it's like, yes, you know, living out these scriptures is actually, believe it or not, listener, easier than we imagine, but there is an order to things, right? God is a God of order. And so I want to leave the listener with a few principles before I'm asking you gentlemen to do the same, because you're a wealth of wisdom. And I want to be able to give some practical reminders or steps for people. But I would say to the listener, listen, what we're asking you to do is it's hard, but it's possible. Hard in that people feel ashamed for their money choices, often feel very ashamed of what they've done and what they haven't done. And so it becomes a very private matter, even with, between husbands and wives. We are very uncomfortable having money conversations. And I have to tell you, listener, when my husband, Mr. Wonderful, and I began to do the Dave Ramsey program, and thank God for Dave Ramsey and this program, we had to go meet gentlemen in public places. Can I tell you the truth? We had to meet at Starbucks or a park. You know why? Because I was going to get loud. Because I was in such an emotional upheaval that I couldn't hear him without finger pointing and shame blaming myself and him. And so I'm embarrassed, but I'm vulnerable enough to say, this was hard. So as a way to protect ourselves and keep the ball moving forward, we would meet at a Publix. We would meet at a Starbucks, or we would meet at a park so that the conversation could take place. And because I was more mindful, right, to stay connected, not do what we might do in our homes, which is walk away or throw up our hands, you know, or say things that we shouldn't. You know, money is a very volatile conversation. There's a lot of fear around money, right? Because of the lack of it, right? So we understand that there's a lot of baggage that we all carry, you know? Many people come into life fearing the lack of money because of what they've experienced. And so, you know, there's just all these heightened emotions that we're dealing with. But I want to tell you, gentlemen, that once we begin to get our act together financially, and God began to give us some resources to build us up out of that pit, and as we begin to put together a zero-based budget, again, let me say it again, listener, zero-based budget, okay? What happens is now we were controlling our money. Our money was no longer controlling us. Now, I mention that because this very worthy opportunity came across our life, and these people wanted to adopt a child that was in a severely depressed country. And this child more than likely would die if this adoption didn't take place. Now, they were wanting to raise $20,000, and they were asking for a donation of any kind. Now, listener, you know that when you are faced with a person going for a worthy cause, you don't want to give $50 to a $20,000 cause that could save a child's life. And so I prayed about it, and my husband and I prayed about it, and we made a commitment. We said, Lord, we want to donate $200. Now, that's just a drop in the bucket, $200 a month for 1 year. I think I figured it out. It's like 10% of what their actual need was going to be. And I wanted us to do that. But here's the thing. How are you going to find the money? Well, see, when you have a zero-based budget, it's easy. We are telling our money what to do. So we went into our budget, the budget we set, and we said, what we need to do is find 50 extra dollars a week. Listener, you have more money than you even realize. And what we decided for ourselves is that we could, because our grocery allowance was pretty good. And we decided we would actually, for just two people, we would do fine with $50 less a week between our groceries and our eating out. It was actually not a big deal. But more than that, it reminded us of the privilege it was, back to what Kevin was sharing, is to be able to sow into something so worthy. I'd rather not go to a restaurant once a week in order to be available to them. And so that's what we did. We found $200, easy peasy lemon squeezy, because we went into our zero-based budget. We moved it around like a Tetris, you know, figured out where our money was going to go. And we faithfully sowed that $200 for 1 year. Now, listener, before the zero-based budget, you probably understand when I say, oh, I would have said, oh, I don't have $200 a month. Oh, I don't even know if I have $50 to give. See, our mindset is corrupted. But when we gain a new mindset, we remember we're called to be stewards of God's money. And this was an excellent way for us to steward what God clearly wanted to happen. And can I tell you, gentlemen, I met that young boy who came over, and what a good and a godly young man he is and is becoming. So God had a rescue plan for this orphan. Amen. And
Amen.
God to use people like you and me, listener, to be able to bring his will to pass. My third is to say, listener, wealth building begins in youth. Don't think your children are going to learn this. Start teaching them at 5 years old. Come up with creative ways to begin to show them what compound interest looks like and how if they delay gratification. I'm not saying they shouldn't spend their money. Teach them about tithing. Number one, show them how to put money aside for God. Show them, in my opinion, how to put something aside for generosity. And then show them how to save. And then, yes, the rest of this is for you to enjoy. See, it all does work. And children need to learn it. Your teenagers, they are not learning this. They're not learning how to balance a checkbook, let alone a zero-based budget. They're not learning about investment. And so it's the cry of my heart for this generation for us to begin to implement these kingdom principles into the hearts and lives of our little children and into our teenagers. And lastly, I want to say, I'm going to throw kind of where Joseph was, right? There's two men that I listen to, that my husband and I listen to, and these two men have been studying this subject for years upon years upon years upon years. And I like how Joseph said, you're not going to get it all from us. Our focus is not to teach all on finances. But Dave Ramsey, he has built his whole career on helping other people learn the simple strategies. I didn't say easy, but the simple strategies to get out of debt and to build wealth. And the other person we listen to is Ramit Sethi, RamitSethi. I think if you're in deep financial debt right now and you're clawing your way, I would say go to Dave Ramsey. Like, definitely go to Dave Ramsey. Once you've matured and in that process and you're living out that process, I think it's great to introduce somebody like Ramit Sethi, who says similar things, but he has some nuances that if now you've matured to the place that you have saved money and you do have, you know, emergency funds in place and you are debt-free or primarily debt-free, you can begin to listen to some other voices. Ramit Sethi is not a Christian. He does not teach out of Christian principles, but all truth comes from God. So I'm able to glean from Ramit what is good for me and my husband in this time, and we have applied some of his principles. So definitely those two people, I would leave for the listener. Seek them out today. Like Joseph said, that's a foundation built on the kingdom principles, and you need a blueprint, you need a template, and you need a foundation to be able to do that. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Well, I want to be able to leave everybody with some thoughts also. One is, you know, Psalms 37, you know, and this is what Laura kind of touched on. It says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. And it's very important to understand that if you hold your hand in a fist and your money is in that fist, it's very hard for people to put money in that fist. It's also very hard for you to be able to give. So there's a principle there. If we hold our hand open, what is freely given can also be freely received. And, you know, this isn't a prosperity gospel. This is a principle, okay? What we want you to do is understand that the money is not ours, right? This money is not mine. It is God's money. And I need to be a good steward of it. If I'm not a good steward of it, then God's not going to reward me. And it's not like, oh, I need to do this so I could get lots of rewards. The reward could be peace. The reward could be, safety in the midst of a storm, right? If I'm not a good steward of what God has given me, he's not going to give me more. He's going to take it away, because God doesn't want to hurt us. We need sometimes to go through pain to realize that, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And that pain is a good motivator. So somebody right now, you're listening and you're in pain. This is your wake up call. This is your, hey, I need to maybe do something different, because what I've been doing is nothing's changed. I keep wanting it to change, but it doesn't. The other thing that I want us to learn, and this works good with children, it works good with other adults, your parents, yourself, is we need to take our daily dose of vitamin N. And vitamin N is simply no. I need to tell myself no. When we start taking our vitamins and start applying it to our lives, it's going to be a lot easier to stop doing the things that we're doing.
Well, that's good. I just love that vitamin N.
I take my girls to the grocery store so that I could practice vitamin N on them. And I always, before we go into the grocery store, I say, okay, girls, what am I going to tell you? They're like, no. And I'm like, good, let's go in. And the whole time we're in there, Daddy, can I get this? Can we have this? Can I use my allowance? Can I do? And it's like, no, 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 no. And the cashiers are just laughing. They're just having a ball watching me tell the girls no, because the girls have big smiles on their faces and they're, you know, this gleam in their eye. Because they know that if they ask, they're going to get the answer no. But every once in a while, I may say yes. And it makes the yes much more valuable to them. But I also want them to understand that we have to tell ourselves no. Does Daddy get everything that he wants when I go to the store? No. I get what's essential. I get what we need in order for the survival of the family. And so we have to practice saying no to ourselves. So Dave Ramsey is a great foundation. Start practicing by telling yourself no. And allow for yourself to be able to get out of that hole so that when it comes time to being able to say yes, you have the clarity of mind. You have the conviction to say yes in a responsible way. You know, God doesn't want us to live our lives out as slaves, right? We end up being slave to the lender. We can also be slave to our finances. We can be slaves to our desires. But what he wants us to do is to be free. In that freedom also comes responsibility. He wants us to be good stewards of the money that we're doing. He wants that we're using. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to be a part of his kingdom. And if he loves us, he's not going to allow us to stay in bondage. And sometimes that pain is there to help us to make different decisions, to make better decisions so that we can get out of it. So I want to encourage you again, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, has done a wonder on my life. Obviously, it's done a wonder on Laura's life. And what that's done is it's put us on the trajectory of being financially secure, being in security, not insecure, so that we can make better decisions, that our relationships will thrive. Because the world doesn't care if you're in debt or if you're financially solid. The curveballs are going to come. Those storms are going to come. The rains are going to hit you. The water's going to rise. What is your foundation on? Is it on a firm foundation or is it on shifting sand? And so we want you to be prepared, and we're also here to help you. You may say, I don't even know where to start. You can go onto our website, fill out the client form, and we can get a hold of you. I have walked many tens of couples through financial peace, but also I help people when it comes to, let's look at your finances. Let's see what we can do. But I'm always going to point to Financial Peace University because I want a good foundation so that we can start building up that those walls and the roof so that you have a secure house. And then also, don't do this by yourself. Do this with others. Walk with others. It's easier to carry a load with somebody else, and you're not doing it by yourself. Because right now you feel isolated. You feel like you're the only one that is failing. When in reality, very few people are successful. They look successful. They are actually drowning in debt, just like what Kevin said. They're making millions of dollars a year, and yet their nose is barely above water. They're drowning.
So, Joseph, if, I like your, and Laura got a chuckle, and I realized what you said after you said it, the vitamin N. So if I hear you correctly, you get your pill box. My wife sets aside my vitamin C and my garlic, and she does such a beautiful job 7 days a week. And I just got to scoop them out of there and like take them with water. So you're saying put some vitamin N in our pill boxes and make sure we have a daily regimen of that. And curious enough, before you said that, I was thinking about, no, we have to tell ourselves no a whole lot more times than we say give ourselves permission. And really that comes from self-control. And we don't have the self-control that we need. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, faithfulness and goodness and love and peace and joy and all those things. So, but that self-control is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. And so if our some of our listeners are impulsive or they don't have a handle, you don't have a handle on your finances, invite the Holy Spirit very intentionally and very specifically into your financial, new financial approach. Start small. You don't have to knock it out of the park and pay your mortgage off tomorrow. But cut, I mean, starting small, and I've never listened to Dave Ramsey. I just listened to my wife, and she's she's probably his equivalent. But cut your credit cards up. Cut one at a time up. Yes. And I've seen a lot of people like you guys have. They'll, oh man, we just take our take out our equity on our home or get a loan on our equity and pay off our credit cards. Well, the problem with that is they rack their credit cards back up, you know. And so, but if you have a financial advisor, you can along with Dave Ramsey and some of the other resources that Laura and Joseph have enumerated, go see a financial planner at the bank or any number of places that will help you have that zero budget, that would help you make sense and start small. If you can start small, make a little progress, then you will get some confidence. You'll get one in the win column, and that will produce some confidence and momentum. But definitely invite the Holy Spirit into to your very budgeting, your financial mindset, and all that, because it's going to take some self-control that's beyond our power.
Absolutely. And the accountability, that's the key. You know, walking with burdens with others, but accountability is huge. Mm-hmm. And you need to be accountable. I need to be accountable to somebody. Somebody needs to be accountable to me. And you may think, well, I'm you know, the worst. Why would anybody come to me? And in reality, God's going to use you more than you're going to ever think, because you can say, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Let's walk through this together. So walking, carrying your burdens with others, but also being accountable, but also turning around and helping the next person with those principles helps. Because if I teach something, not only am I teaching them, I'm teaching myself. I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I have to, because the principles that God has laid before me are very important. I have to follow them too. So that accountability is very important. So yeah, Kevin, Laura, this was a great topic. We're going to hit this again, but I think foundationally, this is something that a lot of people need to hear, and I'm going to stress it. Go to Financial Peace University. Start getting those principles. Start taking your vitamins, and we will start seeing lives change. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.